From the halls of every school in Michigan, this is School Talks on 760 WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy. Sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now, take your seats. Class is in session. Here's Robert.
Welcome to the program. If you're looking for innovation and excitement in public schools, you've come to the right place today. Joining us on the program will be the 2025 Educator of the Year, Kelly Herberholtz from Dakota High School in Chippewa Valley Schools. We'll also be joined by Preston Denikowski and Jasmine Ramahi from East Kentwood High School over on the west side. And rounding out the program, we'll chat with Dr. Sean Lively, the principal of Crockett Midtown High School of Science and Medicine in Detroit Public Schools. All this and more coming up. This is School Talks on 760 WJR.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Kelly Herberholtz, a science teacher and administrative team intern at Dakota High School in Chippewa Valley Schools up in Macomb County. And of equal importance, Kelly is the Michigan Lottery's Educator of the Year for 2025. Welcome to the program, Kelly.
Thank you so much for having me. It's good to be here today.
So right out of the gate, I have to know, what does it mean to win the Educator of the Year award to you, both personally and professionally?
It means a great deal. Personally, I just felt so much gratitude in that moment when I received the award, to see all of my colleagues and friends and students there. And everyone was just genuinely excited for me and happy for me and congratulating me. And that really, from a personal standpoint, means a great deal. And professionally, being an educator is challenging, but it's also extremely rewarding. So to be recognized for that hard work and the dedication for the field of education, that really meant a ton to me professionally.
You know, Governor Whitmer praised you for your dedication to students, your leadership in creating school-wide events, and as well, your connection to the community. And when I think about the fact that you've spent your entire 12-year career at Dakota High School, what has kept you inspired and motivated to stay and grow within the community and the profession?
Without a doubt, it has been the people, especially at Dakota High School. This has really been a special place for me. They took a chance on me. I was 22 years old. I was fresh out of college and student teaching. And I said, I'd love to teach science here. And they said, okay, let's give it a shot. In my role as a teacher and as a student government advisor, I get to know students in different capacities. And kids are just awesome. They are so cool. They are great. They are the future of our country. And to get to know them better has really motivated me to continue to stay in this role and to grow within this community. One thing that's awesome about being at Dakota, it's a big school. And when you have a big school, there's lots of opportunities. So I've had the opportunity to be a coach, to be a student government advisor, to serve on different district level and school level committees. So all of those different opportunities in a school and a district like Dakota and Chippewa Valley.
So speaking of students, how do you approach making science engaging and accessible for them, especially in those tough subjects like chemistry or even advanced placement chemistry?
It's all about just making things relatable, breaking it down into smaller pieces, and giving students the opportunity to practice those skills. One thing in chemistry and AP chemistry and just science in general, it's really about skills, and it's helping students to develop those skills. And an important piece to that is also encouraging students and letting them know that if they fail, that it's okay. And you're going to allow them to take risks, but you're also going to be there to help them when they need it. Especially in an advanced placement course, you're teaching college level chemistry and a lab component. So two semesters of college chemistry and a lab. That is challenging. So my students need to know that I care about them as a teacher, and that they can come to me with questions, and I'm going to help them, and I'm going to support them, and I'm going to give them resources and tools to do that. And that lab component, especially in the AP course, is really important. And it's one of the things that I find most rewarding about being a science teacher, and equipping them with the skills to go on to college and beyond and feel confident in a lab setting. I have a lot of students, you know, I just talked to talked to a few at graduation, and they're pursuing mechanical engineering, chemical engineering, and they're using skills that they learned in AP chemistry in their college studies. So it's all about making it relatable, making it relevant, and also making sure that they feel comfortable to come to you and ask for help and whenever they need it.
I can tell just from your focus on students how important it is to you that they get the help they need. And can you share more about the advisory period that you helped develop at Dakota?
Over the course of your career in education, things change on a daily, weekly, yearly basis. So advisory, and why I wanted to help develop an advisory period, is I think it's important for us to look at how we utilize time during the school day to try and be creative and innovative in how we support students. So advisory to me was all about giving students the opportunity to have access to their teachers during the school day, to getting academic support. And overall, my main goal throughout all of this was to give students the opportunity to get that support during the school day.
We're currently with Kelly Herberholtz from Dakota High School up in Chippewa Valley Schools, and who is also the Michigan Lottery's 2025 Educator of the Year winner. And I can certainly tell by your commitment to students why you were selected for this award. And on that note, what strategies do you use to build a positive classroom and school culture? And why do you believe this is important for student success?
It really just starts with building those relationships and also being a facilitator of building relationships between students as well. So as a classroom teacher, I might use a strategy like having a question of the day. That's something that a lot of teachers do just to connect with their students. Every student answers the question, you hear a little bit from them, gives every student the opportunity to make a connection. But also using your lessons to facilitate and connections between students as well. So being intentional about asking students to talk to one another about what they're doing in class and encouraging them and giving them positive feedback so that they feel confident in your classroom setting. That's how you start to build those positive connections, because when students are seeing that you believe in them and you know that they have potential to do well, they are going to have those same confidence in themselves as well.
And I know, and many may know, but not everyone, you're known for sending personalized postcards to your students and greeting them at the door each day. Couldn't think of a better way to build a positive culture. And I'm curious, what inspired you to develop this kind of practice, and what kinds of impacts have you seen on your students as a result?
I really felt passionately about sending mail home, not just writing a note to a student and giving it to them, although that's awesome. I just feel like there's something cool and special about getting mail to your house. In a digital era that we live in, getting physical mail is cool. And it's also something where it connects with their families as well. A lot of times it's their parents checking the mail. So I love that their parents would get it. Maybe their parents would see it and read it before giving it to their student. And I think that's another connection piece. And you wouldn't believe how many positive messages I've gotten in return.
Kelly Herberholtz, the Michigan Lottery 2025 Educator of the Year winner, I want to thank you for joining us on School Talks. You've given not only educators and future educators something to which they could aspire, but you really are making a difference in the lives of children. And I appreciate your time today, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. It was really good to be here and to speak with you today.
After a short break, we'll chat with Preston Denikowski from East Kentwood High School. Stay right there. We'll be back right after this.
This is School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy, sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins and Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Once again at the head of the class, Dr. Livernoy.
We're going to come back out to you and start and hit record. 5, 4, 3, 2.
Joining us now on the program is Preston Denikowski, the video production teacher at East Kentwood High School over on the west side of the state. Welcome to the program, Preston.
Thank you so much. I'm really excited to be here and and talk about what it is that we do over here.
And you know, one thing I'm intrigued to learn about, and I know we'll get into it, is your Falcon News Network, which I think is an anchor of the work that you do there. But first and foremost, what inspired you to take over the video program at East Kentwood? And as I understand it, your journalism background may have helped you prepare for this. Tell us a bit about that.
Yeah, so when I originally went to school for journalism, so Grand Valley State University. I graduated there in 2016. One of the kind of the primary drivers behind going to school for journalism was that I wanted to be able to educate a lot of people at one time. So I thought journalism was a way to do that. If I get people in front of their TV screens, you know, maybe I'll get lucky and, you know, a few thousand people are watching and I can really, like, dive in and educate them about certain topics. And I kind of quickly realized that, you know, that's not necessarily the case, that if people don't necessarily like what you're telling them or something, they can just, you know, change the channel. So I took a step back and thought, all right, how can I really reach people and make a change? And teaching was the way to do that. So I went back to school through Grand Valley's Graduate Teacher Certification Program. I'm able to actually teach social studies. I have a certification in that as well as the journalism side of things. But I did my student teaching in East Kentwood, and the diversity, you know, we're the most diverse school in the state of Michigan. We're the biggest high school in the state of Michigan. We have just under 3,000 students. We're, I think, the fourth most diverse in the entire country. I just fell in love with it. The, you know, being able to walk to class and hear students having a conversation in Vietnamese, and you round a corner and it's a conversation in Swahili, and so on and so forth. Just the cultural richness that's here made me fall in love. So I wrapped up my student teaching on a parent-teacher conference night, the night that Kentwood Public Schools closed to COVID. That was the end of my student teaching experience, and I knew that I had to get back. After one brief year of teaching up north, I came back to East Kentwood, and just to get my foot back in the door, I took an online teaching position with our virtual academy, and for the first semester, that's what I did, and then our video production teacher that was here retired to kind of move into the next phase of his life, and I applied, and the rest is history, and then that's kind of how we got our start here.
So tell our School Talks listeners about the Falcon News Network, and when you came back, what are some of the things that you did to build buy-in from administration, teachers, and students to sort of refocus the Falcon News?
Yeah, so Falcon News Network, or FNN, is our school news program. So we do weekly news shows, usually in the anywhere from 10 to sometimes up to 18, 20 minute in length, where our students kind of produce, create, write, edit, film, the whole shebang. And the first day I walked in the door, there were 9 students in the class. There wasn't necessarily any buy-in from around the school. The episodes, you know, I'm tremendously appreciative of our former teacher. He was instrumental in getting me the role. But I knew right away, like, all right, I want to get some new students in here. So I got a couple students that I knew to join us. So it was just, it was 11 of us that first semester. And we kind of sat back and we said, all right, we're gonna change how we do the show.
Coming up on today's FNN, students show their appreciation to our teachers. The FNN starts now.
The Seal of Biliteracy is granted to students who can show intermediate to high proficiency in listening, speaking, reading, and writing in a second language. It's a valuable asset. At EK, I'm Julie Islas.
Production Club is a way for us to highlight all the awesome things that are happening at East Kentwood through our big events. And so anything from the talent show.
This is your EK Sports Report. For the last EK Sports Report, since it's Teacher Appreciation Week, our varsity athletes show appreciation to their coaches. Check it out.
And we said, all right, we're going to have a news segment. So we're going to have 3 to 4 news stories to begin the show. Then we're going to transition into our sports segment. And then we wrap it up with something fun, you know, putting teachers in the hot seat and rattling off questions to them, or guess the language, or finish the song lyrics, or something like that. And I think that kind of revitalization, that reorganization, making it where when we first started, our episodes were, you know, 5 to 10 minutes sometimes, really palatable and something that teachers can put on as they're taking attendance at the start of class. They can sit back, take some coffee, do attendance, kind of get prepared for the day, and then get into their lesson.
Mm-hmm. We're currently with Preston Dunikowski, video production teacher at East Kentwood High School. You know, your description of how you engage students, Preston, as a backdrop to that, how do you encourage students in this day and age to pursue stories that they care about?
you know, when you put the ball in the kid's court, you know, it's a slam dunk almost every time. You know, I try to give them the tools. You know, we start every year with kind of reporter's boot camp, where I kind of give them a college semester's worth of reporting information over the course of about a month and a half, going through how you accomplish stories, talking to your interviewees, you know, writing professional emails, kind of the whole shebang. But for the most part, just overwhelming success in giving students the independence and the encouragement to chase stories that matter to them.
You know, we've known for a long time in education that students often do better in a subject matter that interests them as opposed to something that's been given to them because it's just something you have to do. And this whole strategy of yours around student voice and giving them that choice, I think really speaks volumes to the success of your program. One last question. How long have you been in teaching this program?
So this is wrapping up my fifth year of teaching. This will be wrapping up my fourth year at East Kentwood.
So you're,
and yeah, just like day one taking over. I think it was January 2021, 2022, something like that. We had, like I said, 9 students in our news class, kind of 15 to 17 in our normal video classes. And now this upcoming year, we interviewed over 100 to join our Falcon News Network. We have over 200 kids signed up for our other video electives. So the video program is really, really growing. And we're seeing some incredibly talented students. We just graduated a senior. Her name is Nuwa. She was a PBS fellow, so PBS flew her out to D.C. to complete and take part in like a student reporting week out there. So it was an all-expense-paid week for her. She was one of 3 students that just won their first Michigan Student Emmy this past year.
This is kind of like what the dream looked like, just being and creating with my friends, with my people, with my family, and having people that can appreciate those creations as well. Many of that came from like my roots, which big part was because of Mexico. Yeah.
She won film competitions, so we're having students that are now kind of out and about like winning awards and getting recognized too. So just the level of talent at East Kentwood is second to none, in my opinion.
Preston Dunikowski, video production teacher at East Kentwood High School. I really appreciate your time on School Talks today. Keep up the great work as you cycle through another year. You're just continuing to build a great legacy there for students in your program. So thanks for joining us, and keep up the good work.
Thank you so much.
We'll take a short break and continue our conversation with Jasmine Ramahi from East Kentwood High School. This is 760 WJR.
School Talks on WJR with Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Jasmine Ramahi, a social studies teacher from East Kentwood High School over on the west side of the state. And she also is the teacher of a rather unique program, Educators Rising. Welcome to the program, Jasmine.
Thank you so much. It's such a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate it. So first and foremost, what is Educators Rising, and how did you get involved to take it over and, as I understand it, expand it? Tell us a bit about that program.
Yeah, Educators Rising is a really cool program that we offer here where students can explore pursuing different careers in education. And so it's one of those things that in school we have a lot of career prep. And we realize, let's make sure that we're preparing kids to go into education as well and giving them a chance to explore what that looks like. And so we started the Educators Rising program as a grow your own program. So hoping that students who come through our program will hopefully go on to pursue education, and then we can hire them back here at Kentwood Public Schools. That started about 5 years ago, and I took it over 4 years ago. And each year we have continued to expand it. And each year with those expansions, it looks like different opportunities for kids and giving more opportunities and experiences to our students. So every year we've been able to grow a little bit more, especially as we move further and further from the hybrid learning year of COVID, which is when we started. And as we get more comfortable with some of the systems and procedures and even getting more ideas from other teachers in the district about what experiences we should be giving students.
You know, you mentioned Grow Your Own. Is your program supported by the state initiative known as Grow Your Own?
Yeah, and that was one of the pieces that really launched our program as well by the state of Michigan was that Grow Your Own program and the Explore program.
And, you know, given your background in educational leadership and just the, you know, understanding the importance of teacher retention, how do you feel that that informs your work with students to become future educators?
So I got my master's in educational leadership, and leadership is something that's always been really interesting to me. Teachers are leaders in their classrooms. Teachers can be leaders in their buildings. Teachers can be leaders in their communities. And so being able to teach this class allows me to work with students and continue to develop their leadership skills and think about things through the lens of leadership. If we are helping develop these students to be future leaders and be thinking about leadership and teaching them how to build a community of support, then we're helping combat and retain teachers.
In connection to your experience in leadership, can you describe the impact of your philosophy, which I understand to be the whole district is our classroom? How does that affect student learning and engagement?
Education is such a vast and diverse field. There are so many different facets and systems in education. And so we want to make sure that we are giving students all of the experiences that we can and the mentality that everything we do is still learning and still pertinent to exploring fields of education. And so when I say the whole district is our classroom, if we go to an elementary school, we're still learning. If we go and help out at a middle school, we're still learning. Even if we are going to central office and speaking with different positions there, that is still learning and that is still pertinent to our classwork. And so again, with the looking at everything through a lens of leadership and developing those leadership skills so that students feel better prepared, more confident, and able to better advocate for themselves.
So we're currently with Jasmine Ramahi, social studies teacher and the leader of the Educators Rising program at East Kentwood High School over on the west side of the state. Jasmine, the idea that Educators Rising grew out of the state's Grow Your Own initiative, I understand that it is now a state-accredited career and technical education program. And how did you work to transition it from a Grow Your Own into an accredited program?
Yeah, that's something that we're really appreciative of the state of Michigan, recognizing the value of that those CTE courses. And when we first started, we were not a CTE-accredited course, and then it was through different conversations with colleges and with other people in the field that we learned that it was eligible. And so the CTE process does take about a year before you get accredited, and so we began that process our second year. And it's been really great to be part of the CTE program and, again, have the support from the state of Michigan in that way. Through the CTE credential, we are getting college articulation, and so our students are getting college credit for taking our class, which is really great. And then some of the extra funding that we get, we're able to use on things like taking a school bus to some of these colleges where kids could be getting potential funding or articulation, and then they can see what that college campus is like and get a feel for if that's a place where they belong. We also use some of the funding so that students have the power to design their own lessons, which is really cool because then not only are students thinking about things through a lens of leadership and teaching, but then we actually go and try to teach our lessons. And so students are following through and executing the lessons that they design. And then we even try to do sometimes is have them teach the lessons multiple times because a lot of teachers know things happen and things don't always go the way you plan, but then you make adjustments so that it's better the next time. And so we give them a chance to teach it several times so that each time it continues to improve and they're thinking about the flexibility and adaptability and incorporating things like differentiation and how do you group the students with the smoothest transitions. So they're getting that real life experience, which is really cool.
And, you know, Educators Rising is an actual class in a student's schedule, correct?
Yeah, so it's 1 hour of their day.
Yep, and as many students will tell you in high school, sometimes they want to do more than the schedule permits. And I understand at East Kentwood, you also have a grassroots educators club for students who can't fit Educators Rising into their schedules. Can you tell us a bit about the grassroots club?
Yeah, and so this was a club that we created after creating the Educators Rising course, and we noticed that there were students who couldn't take the class because maybe they were only freshmen or they're sophomores, and they still had graduation requirements that they needed to get through or things like that. But we wanted to continue to give them a chance to be connecting with their community and getting experiences, interacting with kids and being leaders and practicing instruction. So we created the Grassroots Educators Club. And what this is it provides various opportunities throughout the school year for students to get in front of elementary or middle school students and be a leader, be a role model, practice giving some instruction, all sorts of different opportunities to start thinking like a teacher. And then if that's something that really catches on and they really like it, then they're really confident and want to sign up for that Educators Rising course to make it a part of their school day. Going to read at elementary schools for reading months, or going to mentor with middle schoolers. We've had an opportunity for them to design lessons and teach them at some community nights at elementary schools. It's basically just whatever the district needs or wherever the kids are interested in trying out.
You know, in a roundabout way, it's kind of like giving them a chance to test drive a car before they commit to purchasing it or actually pursuing an opportunity such as that. I do want to mention, for our School Talks listeners, the state of Michigan provides accreditation and support for programs that create opportunities for students to fill jobs that are in high demand. And the Grow Your Own program from the state was a direct response to the fact that we're facing a substantial teacher shortage, and programs like Educators Rising and the work that Jasmine is doing is right in this wheelhouse of helping fill a profession that is in desperate need of good teachers going forward. And believe it or not, it's only going to, the problem's only going to get larger as teachers retire and fewer are coming into the profession. So the kind of work that you're doing, Jasmine, without a doubt is some of the most important work for the long-term trajectory of educators in Michigan. And I want to take a minute and thank you so much for joining us on School Talks. And I love the title Educators Rising because it really speaks to meeting the challenge of educating the next generation. So keep up the good work, and I appreciate your time.
Thank you so much.
Dr. Sean Lively from Detroit Public Schools is next.
School Talks on WJR is sponsored by Wakely Associates, Plant Moran, Real Point, Collins & Plaha, O'Reilly Rancilio PC Attorneys at Law, Clark Construction, and by Must Construction Careers. Now let's get back to class. Once again, your host, former Superintendent Dr. Robert Livernoy.
Joining us now in the program is Sean Lively, the principal of the Crockett Midtown High School for Science and Medicine right here in Detroit Public Schools. Welcome to the program, Sean.
Thank you very much, Dr. Livernoy. It's a pleasure to be here.
I appreciate you stopping by and you know, doing some research on your school. I was intrigued by the kinds of offerings it provides students. I was wondering if you could give us, as a starting point, what is the vision for the Crockett Midtown High School Science and Medicine program?
We are the premier high school for science and medicine specific or health career specific programming in Detroit, and I would say Metro Detroit and the state of Michigan. We offer programs and courses that no one else does, and we are making every attempt to positively impact our students, but not just the students, but the community in the city of Detroit, and gear up potential programs to help students get ready to become potential doctors, nurses, and scientists.
So in that lens, what kind of programs do you offer there that sort of sets you apart from other schools?
We, in the 6 years that I've been there, we have transitioned from more of a CTE school to a work-based learning co-op, hands-on lived experiences school and opportunity in science and medicine. So we have specific partnerships with the Detroit Medical Center, the DMC, all the hospitals there. So all of our seniors take advantage of work-based learning opportunities with internships, shadowing, externships, They have a variety of options if they want to go into pharmacy, nursing, they want to be a doctor, they want to be a research scientist. We have a really strong partnership with Karmanos Cancer Institute, where our students can shadow an oncology nurse or oncology doctor. We have really strong relationships and partnerships with post-secondary like Lawrence Tech University and Wayne State University for dual enrollment. With Lawrence Tech, it's even more specific to dual credit, where we have established and created a brand new program where our students in ninth grade for their science classes can receive that dual credit. So credit in college and credit in high school, and the professor and that teacher co-teach, and they have the opportunity to knock out their high school credit and their college credit. So for instance, ninth grade, it's biology, 10th grade, it's anatomy and physiology, 11th grade, it's physics, and 12th grade, it's chemistry. So there's a lot of opportunity to leave our school. It's almost like an early middle college, but it's not that yet established yet. So we're working on building that up. And then other programs to get them college and career ready, but more career ready, with like surgical tech, therapy tech. There's new programs that are being created, you know, in the field of health and science and medicine. And then it's trickling down to the colleges and universities to educate and prep those students to, you know, tackle those careers. But right now we're opening up new opportunities through exposure for our kids at the high school level.
So given your intense focus on science and medicine, can you describe for us the process for student admission to the program? Mm-hmm. And what do you look for in a student before you allow them to come into the program?
You know, at its most basic level, we look at grades, attendance, and behavior. We also mandate that students supply us with 3 reference letters. So it's really getting them ready for that post-secondary experience as well, to apply for a college, get reference letters, apply for a job. But even deeper than that, we really want students to have a passion for science and medicine. So something in the health career field for health, you know, wanting to be a nurse, doctor, or the science research component has come back in the last 3 years for us. Not only a class that we offer 10th graders and 11th graders and 12th graders, but they can also get that dual credit, dual enrollment credit in the college level. So we want to expand on those and continue to build. But right now we offer a lot of those programs and classes that no one else does in the city or the state. That makes us unique and special. So it's competitive, and that's why I think students and parents want to come to our school.
We're currently with Sean Lively, the principal of Crockett Midtown High School for Science and Medicine. Sean, I want to follow up. You mentioned various partnerships with hospitals and such. Do those programs offer extracurricular opportunities for students, or away from that, what kinds of traditional extracurricular opportunities do you provide for students?
So there's a lot of, I look at it as like a spider web. We have so many partnerships, and then those partnerships have partnerships and different opportunities. So we really try to focus on having a traditional high school experience with a focus in science and medicine, and at some point becoming more college and career ready for post-secondary or a position in the field. So with that being said, we want to get them as many hands-on experiences as possible. So we can get into the Wayne State Science and Medicine Lab. We can get into the Lawrence Tech Lab. We can get into the Karmanos Cancer Institute Lab, where they're doing actual science research. And this is hands-on, real-life, current research. So that has really exploded at our school. And then if we can connect that work-based learning opportunity where they're doing an internship, an externship, or a job shadowing with a nurse, doctor, or scientist, that opportunity would then connect with their dual enrollment course. So if they really want to be a nurse, they're going to shadow a nurse at Henry Ford. And then they'll be in Nursing 101 at Wayne State or Lawrence Tech University. And then they're going to have field trips. They're going to have guest speakers. They're going to have mentors. They're going to have the hands-on lab experiences. And we're lucky that our partners will come to us. So if there's transportation issues, anything like that, our partners have been just top-notch, and just being a Wayne State grad, so there's a strong connection there. But Lawrence Tech has just been, both have been phenomenal partners, but Lawrence Tech has really been a top-notch partner for us.
I myself am a 3-time graduate of Wayne State as well, so I know the school quite well over the years. Let me follow up. You know, given the intensity of science and medicine, and given what students often face in high school, how does the school, away from sort of the typical science and math stuff, how do you support students on the social and emotional front as they navigate some of the traditional challenges kids face?
So we have 2 different programs at our school that we've established to help students, like, not just be exposed, but then to have that knowledge to navigate life, you know, in high school and then beyond, and to give them advice. So two of the programs that we developed just based on the needs of our students has been a lunch advisory. So the second half of lunch on Tuesdays and Thursdays, our students come into what other schools would call an auditorium. We don't have that at our school. We call it the forum, where it has a lot of seating. The kids come in ninth and 10th grade for like B lunch. And then that second half of lunch, we talk to them about anything and everything. Same things with seniors and juniors during that A lunch. So that's just one program where our counselors, our social workers, myself, assistant principals, deans, teachers can come down and present information on how to navigate life, become stronger advocates for themselves. We also have assemblies. One of them is at the end of the month assembly. We call it the end of the month assembly, where we celebrate students to build character and celebrate students' positive accomplishments and assessments, attendance, behavior, grades, all those things. So we want to make sure that students know that we love them and that we're here to support them and create that family type atmosphere. And then they can come to us with anything. If they have challenges inside of school or outside of school, we're really there to take care of them. I always say we're small but mighty, but we're focused on family and love.
So speaking of family, one last question for you. What advice would you give to parents who are considering Crockett Midtown for their children?
I would say come visit us. Come to the school in person. See what we can offer. There's huge high schools in our school district that have 2,000-3,000 kids. And then we have small high schools and medium-sized high schools. We're a smaller high school because we have a specific career and post-secondary track for science and medicine and health. I would say if you and your child are interested in that career field or that type of post-secondary education, we're the premier high school around. And to come see us, see what we offer, meet us, get to know us and build those relationships and really truly understand the sequence of course offerings that we offer, clubs, activities, athletics. We can give any student a traditional comprehensive experience just at a small school. And if they really want that core course offerings for science and medicine, and they want to pursue that avenue, then come see us, see what we offer, and then really know our connections and our partnerships with our post-secondary partners like Wayne State and Lawrence Tech University. And if you meet us and get to know us and build those relationships, it's the perfect spot for someone that wants that small school experience.
Sean Lively, principal of Crockett Midtown High School for Science and Medicine. Appreciate the inside look at a school that really is serving students well, especially when they have a desire to pursue this kind of work. I appreciate your time today, and as always, keep up the good work.
Thank you so much. I appreciate being here.
That's all the time we have today, but it was a distinct pleasure to interview such a distinguished panel of educators truly committed to their craft. That's all the time we have for now, but remember, there are two ways to spell one and three ways to spell two. Till next time, this is School Talks on 760 WJR.